name's Alex Webb. I'm here on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. It is the 8th of August, and it's 2:15 in the morning. Could you please state your name, date of birth, and where you're from?
My name is Christopher Hackford. My date of birth is 28th of July, 1970. I'm from Clapham in London.
So where did you initially hear about the project?
Initially heard about it from a friend who sent the link over to us and to a load of us, and I applied and was fortunate enough to be picked.
Yeah, and how did that feel when you found out?
Well, quite exciting but nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
have
it was
you been
good.
Involved in projects?
No, not at all. Nothing like this, Paul.
No.
Not the sort of thing I would normally do. Mm-hmm. So it's quite fun to be involved.
Yeah. And were your friends and family... How did they react? So when you came in?
Well, my friends were annoyed because I got picked and they didn't.
Yeah.
But that's very excited. My parents are very excited as well. Yeah, and family. Mm-hmm. It's good. But they're away, so they're having to watch it online.
Okay. And what are you planning to do?
Planning to commemorate the deaths of the two last survivors of the First World War trenches, mm-hmm. Henry Allingham and Harry Patch. And I'm just going to, apart from enjoying myself up there, I'm going to read some war poetry and some extracts from Siegfried Sassoon's memoirs of an infantry officer in the First World War.
Yeah. And what were your reasons for choosing that?
Well, I think these guys are the last of a generation who, what they did was absolutely amazing. It was gallantry and bravery that we don't have any understanding of or concept of. And they need to be commemorated. And the fourth plinth is, in my view, I think probably the best place for these two gentlemen, on behalf of all their comrades, to be commemorated. Mm. So I thought that I owed it to them, really.
Mm. And what's your view on the kind of, there's this debate whether it's, you know, people are given this opportunity, and you're obviously doing, you're making a kind of a, you're paying tribute to this event. And it's just like, people are going up there and kind of, do you think they're wasting people's time, perhaps on?
No, I don't. I mean, you do what you want. There were no boundaries drawn by Anthony mm-hmm. Gormley or the organisers at all. So you can do what you want. I'm not an entertainer, nor am I talented particularly. So I wanted to do something that was quite important that I could do, and this was it. I'm not entirely sure it's art, mm-hmm. but I think it's a fantastic project.
So what could you maybe tell us a little bit about your like fears and expectations of just being up there?
Of this. fear of being centre stage is, it's not a fear, it's an apprehension of being centre stage. At this time of night, I'm never quite sure about how the drunks are going to behave, which is a bit worrying. But I think once you're up there, you're kind of up there alone, really, and then that's fine. And I'm quite looking forward to being up there. I should spend a few minutes taking in the atmosphere,
yeah.
as well.
Have you been involved in a project like this before?
No.
Exposed to.
No, I've done theatre and okay. I do talks for work, but not in the centre of London or in the spotlight on a plinth.
And could you tell us a little bit about your background and just kind of maybe a little bit of your upbringing?
I was, in fact, born in the South Pacific, which is slightly in a colony in the South Pacific. And then I grew up in Norfolk, in Norwich. Went to university up in Durham and then came down to London. And I've been in London for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Londoner, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do you want to know?
what about your work?
I'm a lawyer for my sins, but I do advertising law, so okay. It's a slightly more interesting side of law. So I help clear adverts, make them sure they comply with all the rules and regulations. I quite enjoy it. I work for, I don't work in the city, I work for a trade association for advertising agencies, mm-hmm. so it's a nice place to work,
mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it, so
yeah,
which is quite fun.
So would you say this experience is going to kind of make quite an impact in, you know, when you step off, you've had your hour, you know, do you think it's going to kind of resonate with you?
I think so, because I hadn't realised how big it is, it's sort of in the background, how much that's going on with Sky Arts, and that it's going to be archived and go to the National Portrait Gallery and all that. And so it's slightly bigger than I thought. It's not really going to be an hour of standing on a plinth. It's going to be there for posterity, which is quite something. And apparently there are more interviews possibly. So, but yeah, so I think it's going to have a much bigger impact than I kind of anticipated. I haven't done too much mind preparation about it because of for one thing or another, but it's been quite exciting the last few days, mm-hmm. getting ready, thinking about it.
Yeah. And have you got friends and family? Like, are they?
Friends are coming. Yeah. I don't know if they're here yet. It's a bit early in the morning for them, but they said they'll get up and come. Mm-hmm. But not too many. My family's away at the moment, but they will. They want to watch it. They're going to go online tomorrow.
What was the poetry, as well, you said?
The poetry I'm going to read, they're very short, actually, but I'm going to read three poems. One is by Sassoon, mm-hmm. one is by Wilfred Owen, another First World War poet, okay. and one is by Lawrence Binyon, which is his poem, which was also written in 1914. Mm-hmm. It's one of the famous stanzas of it is on lots of memorials after the First World War. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read those three, but that'll only take about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I'm going to read an extract from the memoirs of an infantry officer, which is Siegfried Sassoon's memoirs of when he was in the trenches. I'm going to read the bit that's really about battle, mm-hmm. probably until my hour is up.
Mm-hmm. What do you think this kind of interest of kind of war and just history?
Well, I did history at university, actually, so I've always had quite an interest in history, and in fact, as part of my special subject at university was the lead up to the First World War, so I always have, but I actually think it's also what they fought for in the First and in the Second World War was our freedom, the ability for us to live the lives we live now, to go out on a Saturday night and get drunk, and to vote, and these sorts of things. And they need commemorating. And the longer it is since the last war, the more people forget. And I think it's very important to raise awareness of the battle. And that these men fought for us, and to continue to remember them, and it just goes on now as well. All the people who are fighting Afghanistan.
Mm. So you don't think there's enough, you know, awareness, or?
Well, it's always good to raise awareness. Mm. The younger generation, including myself, I mean, we've grown up without any wars at all, really, that have had any effect on us. So we, you know, it becomes a bit easy to sort of dismiss it. Mm. It doesn't always hit home how important it is and what an important role and job the soldiers do, and the sailors and the Air Force. But so I think, I mean, the country obviously values it, but it does no harm to commemorate these two in particular anyway, who've just died. So.
And as a child, were you kind of always interested in history? And
yes. That? Yeah, I love it. I still do. I read history books all the time. Mm-hmm. Perhaps I should start living for the future and not the past.
That's great. And do you think the project is quite an accurate representation of like where we are now in Britain? You know, is it true to say it's a portrait of Britain?
I don't know, actually. That's quite an interesting question. Because a lot of people I'd seen do things I thought were slightly odd, Paul. And if that is a portrait of Britain, it's quite worrying. Mm. But until tonight, when actually all the people that I've just seen immediately before me have all been absolutely fantastic, very normal, ordinary, and much more a representation of cross-section than I had seen previously. Maybe I'd looked at the wrong things.
Because I think, that's one thing with them. Maybe Sky Arts are picking out, you know, the slightly more extroverted, you know, participants. So what we're seeing actually on the coverage is not really, you know, but...
But there are some fantastic people there. There was a guy last night called, I think, Andy G, mm-hmm. who I was inspired by, who I think just went up there on his wheelchair, and mm-hmm. I thought that was absolutely fantastic to be able to for him to be able to do that. I mean, maybe it is that slightly more wacky people wacky people have entered to do it. I don't suppose there's too many accountants and lawyers who've put their names forward, but so it might not be a complete cross-section, but it's certainly an interesting cross-section.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks a lot for the...
All right.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Okay.